Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and Mitchell Henderson has stopped by to share his latest analysis of what we have been watching and studying for the last 5-6 days now. And welcome back, Mitch. I'm curious because I think both of us noticed instantly when President Biden, I hate to even use the term, allegedly came down with COVID in Las Vegas. Never mind no one was going to come to see him talk. Never mind the embarrassment. But the timing.
Yeah, right.
He came down with COVID, and he was instantly flown back to Delaware so he could go back into his basement bedroom and hide out. I think the guy was clearly, or they were afraid that he might flap his gums and say the wrong thing. I don't know how he could not know that there was a plan to try to remove his great competition. What do you think?
Well, I think he definitely knew. And I think the thing that gives that away the most is, and we have a recording of Trump saying what Joe Biden said on the phone call when Trump was talking to RFK, okay? Because RFK's son actually leaked that video, okay?
Yeah.
So Robert F. Kennedy asked Trump what Biden had said, and he said, "Well, he's Biden asked Trump, how did you know to turn your head at just the right time?" Okay, I mean, listen,
yeah.
If I was a homicide investigator, man, he'd be sitting on death row. Okay, that right there,
yeah.
He has guilty knowledge of exactly, he knew what was going to happen, and he knew that what messed it up was that simple turn of the head. And I want you to look at that turn of the head that Trump did. That was
fate.
Not a timed or fake
no.
Turn of the head. It was. See, one of the things that you want when you're going to set up an assassination of somebody, you try to understand their mannerisms, the way they talk, the way they move when they're talking, the way that they address the crowd and stuff. This is very important, okay?
Right.
Because Trump,
right.
believe it or not, is very predictable in how he does that, okay? So what happened to mess up the assassination is on this occasion, he was going to point to a chart, an immigration chart that was off to his right. So he turned, and this is just a reflex. If you're going to point to a chart off to your right, what you're going to do, even unconsciously, is you're going to kind of look at the chart at the same time. And that's when he turned his head to the right, okay? So if you look at Trump doing that, that is an innocent, unplanned turning of the head to the right.
That's called fate.
You can tell by his expressions. You can tell by everything that it wasn't some intentional turning of the head to the right. It was just an incidental one. Okay, and for Biden to make the statement that he did, that is a guilty mind right there. That is a question that a guilty person is going to ask. Okay, so the person he's in cahoots with, Kimberly Cheadle, the head of the director of the Secret Service, great friend Jill Biden. Okay, had the family's confidence. That's why she was selected to be the chief of the director of
the
Secret Service,
yeah.
is because she was a friend of Biden's. Okay,
yep.
So
what's
Biden's dilemma? Biden's big dilemma is everybody wants him to step down, and he's desperate, and he has really only one way out, and that is if Trump gets killed. Okay, so.
I think he is quite depressed, confused, and not to be trusted. He might say anything. He might say, boy, they really blew that. They couldn't follow directions.
Yes.
Why couldn't we get somebody who could shoot there? Who knows what he would say?
Just some stupid thing that he might blurt out, okay?
Yep.
He said to Donald Trump, which, once again, by accident, that message got out to the public, by accident. Okay, there was no contrivance to leaking his video was what RFK's son did. That had nothing to do with any, I don't think RFK's son had any part in the plot. You know who did have a part in this plot? The wealthy elites, the global elites. And you know how you can tell they had a part in it? You can tell because before the assassination attempt, BlackRock shorted Trump's financial stocks and stuff.
Oh, it was a huge stock move. I have the story up right now. Yeah. Yeah. That was no accident. So, that doesn't just happen. No coincidences, not a chance. You'll find the story up in headlines. No. It's there. Some huge put. Huge. I forget what it was. 500,000 shares or something.
Yeah. They're shorting him because if he gets shot that day, they stand to make a fortune.
In other words,
BlackRock is making a fortune in Ukraine. They're making a fortune in Israel. They're making a fortune off of Biden. Of course they want him to say, BlackRock wants us to stay in the war with Ukraine. They're making a fortune from it. The military-industrial complex is making a fortune from it. They have everything invested. So I want you to think about another thing too. Look at how the Democrats never get held to account for anything. They have impunity. I mean, you know, his son has child porn, has pictures of Hunter having sex with little girls, and Merrick Garland is not prosecuting him. Okay, for that. I mean, it's there. Everybody knows it's there. Everybody knows that it's truly Hunter's laptop, yet there's no prosecution of that at all. You know, it's just, I think they had to do the gun charge because, well, it was kind of obvious. And, you know, where they messed up is they were going to give him a plea deal so that he couldn't be tried for it again later. And there's just a wild card judge out there saying, nah, that's too much of a sweetheart deal,
I agree.
So, I mean, Hunter hasn't even been sentenced yet on that.
No, that's September.
But the judge
who postponed his sentencing from July 11th to late in September, 23rd or something, said, if it's necessary then, something exactly like that or nearly, implying that there may not be a reason to sentence Trump by then. He said that. He said, we're moving this to September 23rd, if I'm right on the date, and he'll be sentenced then if it's still necessary. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm very close. It's a very strange comment.
But yes. Not only that, but just look at this. It's you have the situation where you know they know nobody's going to accuse them. Nobody's going to come out and say that the Secret Service attempted to assassinate Trump. Nobody will say that. But I'm going to say it right now. It is the Secret Service. You would have to be blind to not think that the Secret Service was in cahoots with Thomas Cook. They knew about Cook well before this day. Cook even said on the 13th he would be known and stuff like that. How did he know that? Let me ask you this question. This is just incredulous that people don't ask this question, but how would this loner little boy from this small town in Pennsylvania know that he would have clear access to assassinate Trump and that he didn't have to worry about getting caught, that he could just walk up to the building with a ladder in plain view of everybody. He could crawl on the roof where everybody could see him. Hundreds of people saw him crawling on the roof, crawling up to take the shot. And nobody called to say, hey, get Trump off the stage, you know. Nobody did. The Secret Service was the co-conspirator with Thomas Crooks. He was.
Well, we got to go back to JFK, Mitch. We knew the CIA was involved, but now we know it was Mossad and CIA. Right. Mossad runs CIA on an international basis. Now we know clearly right away. We didn't have to wait months for JFK's evidence to become fairly clear. We see this within days. It's so damn easy.
Right. Yes.
You're 100% correct.
So, you know, it's just, and then the second thing is if you're investigating a homicide, a lot of times, especially if it's if it's an involved plot, like a hit for hire, or like a business or something that's trying to get rid of somebody or something, they will throw out, even just individual murderers do this, they throw out all kinds of false theories and false leads trying to get people off of their track. I have been inundated with emails with every wild, crazy thing you can think of in the past 4 days. And it just stands out to me that these are wild stories. Everything from that wasn't really Trump on the stage to not just one other gunman, a second gunman, but a third and a fourth gunman. I mean, listen, this is all distraction from what's plain, simple, and clear and obvious to see. Okay, they're trying to muddy the waters of what is apparent. What's apparent, I mean, what is strikingly apparent is that the Secret Service went out of their way to give crooks every chance they could to shoot Trump. Crooks died only when there was no more chance for him to kill Trump. Once Trump hit the ground, the crooks didn't have a shot anymore, so they took crooks out. Okay. What's unfortunate is what did they tell Crooks? What did they tell him to get him up on that building? This 20-year-old young man. And let me just say this: this kid, we all know that he was bullied and stuff. He's a loner. You know, his life probably sucked. Okay, and then the federal government goes in there and hooks him into this, saying, oh, you know, you're going to do a big favor for the world and for your country. You will be a hero if you do this and stuff. And the people that are telling him this know that the minute that he succeeds in his mission, he's dead, okay, because they didn't tell him he was going to die. And, you know, when he was crawling up on the building and nobody was stopping him, he was probably pretty confident that he was supposed to do what he's doing, and he was a protected person. So all they had to do is show him Joe Biden, the president of the United States, X tweet from June 28th saying, and I'm quoting, "Donald Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our democracy. He's literally a threat to everything America stands for." That is the tweet. Show that to somebody that's sort of fragile and say, look, we have to stop this man. Would he do it? Would he go take one for the country, for his countrymen and stuff? I mean, this you can't get more clear. You can't get more obvious than that. The Secret Service, I'm sure that Kimberly Cheadle authorized this operation. This was a Secret Service operation to assassinate the President of the United States. Listen, if they thought it was perfectly okay, because you have to be an idiot to think that in 2020 that Biden actually won that election. And then I will not withdraw that ever. You have to be an idiot to think that that was a free and fair election. So if you could rig an election of the United States, okay, how much more of a leap is it to go ahead and assassinate the guy that you don't want to be president? How much of a leap is that? Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you right now, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if it's my phone.
No, it's mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's mine. Hey, oh, okay. Biden, I think, had to know, and I think they may not have wanted him to know, but I think he knew, and that's why they've hidden him away. He didn't wear a mask after being allegedly diagnosed with COVID. He didn't act like a man who had COVID at all. No, I don't buy it. I think he was going to talk, or maybe they thought he was going to shoot his mouth off and say some demented brain thing, which spilled the beans. And they had to put him away.
I think so. I think that he knew, and he was being reassured that
right.
Trump wouldn't be a problem for him, you know,
right.
at a minimum right. and stuff. But his statement to RFK, I mean to Tr- Trump about how did you know to turn your head? That question right there, just think about that. That question,
that, no,
how did you know to turn your head right then?
That's not the question you're going to ask unless you know what the hell was going on. How did you defeat our plans and know when to turn your head? We had this thing planned out perfectly.
Turn your head defeated their plan. Yes, it was a perfect plan. It was an easy plan. Yes, there'd be questions, but you know, listen, there's always questions. They rig the election. They get away with it. They say that they sit there and say January 6th was worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11. They really actually think that we're going to believe that. So, yes, they're accustomed to us believing anything that they say, and for all the half of the people that are not in the mental asylum that don't believe their nonsense, they just say those are conspiracy theorists and stuff. Okay,
right.
So what do they do to cover their tracks? They start proliferating conspiracy theories. Okay, there's not a lot to miss here.
Chaos.
It's pretty clear what happened.
They're already doing it. Water tower shooter thing, as I'm watching that, is makes no sense at all if you look at the pictures and study. I'll post them, and you can take a look.
It's
just
kind
makes
of a,
no
you
sense.
You know, from the water tower is a totally different trajectory. Okay,
it's
but
coming
my main
down.
Thing about the, but, yeah, right, coming down from the top. Okay, not going across his head. You wouldn't have bullets flying.
No, it's not horizontal to the ground at all. No.
Yeah,
right.
It would be coming from up to down if it was from the water tower. The second thing, the main thing is, and this is somebody who's been involved in planning operations and stuff, okay, and yes, planning operations to shoot people, legitimate enemies of the country, okay, but in that thing, or to take out an enemy and stuff, I mean, that's what soldiers do all the time. Okay, mm-hmm. If there's a second shooter, Trump would be dead. Trump would be dead. The fact that he's not dead indicates that it was just crooks shooting. Look at Kennedy. One guy didn't get him, another guy did. You know, they wanted to cover their bases and make sure.
I personally think that they would have had at least two shooters there to back up. If crooks had fallen apart, failed, whatever, they would have had another option. I just think that they'd have two. More than that.
I think that they could have had. Typical to have a backup plan. Okay,
yeah.
But I don't think that shooter was deployed, because if he was deployed, Trump would be dead. If he was deployed.
He wasn't deployed. No.
Here's
the audio. Here's the audio. History of the shots fired. Pop, pop, pop. That's crooks. Pop, pop, pop.
Right.
After the first pop, Trump grabs his ear. Instantaneously. Pop, grabs his ear.
Right.
Pop, pop. And then there's a pause. 1001, 1002. And then there's a burst of five. Pop, 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 pop. Different weapon. Different sound. The audio analysis has proven that. Then there's a single final shot from a third weapon, possibly one of the Secret Service counter snipers taking out crooks. This all happens like in you know, 2 seconds.
When I'm listening to those shots from crooks, I hear a 5.56 round.
That's
and
right.
If you've been in the military, you've heard these rounds shot. So
I've
many
heard
times
them.
That you just know what they are.
Not 7.6.
The 7.6 are the shots coming from the right. Okay, so
that's
if you're
right.
looking,
and there were five of them.
Looking back,
it was a burst of five.
Yeah, on the left is Crooks, and there's his shots. Those are 5.56, and then from the right comes 7.62 shots. So there's a very distinct difference between the sound that they make.
I agree.
It's just unbelievable that he was in plain view doing what he was doing, and nobody stopped him, and nobody got Trump undercover. This was the Secret Service attempted assassination on a president of the United States. The CIA did it with Kennedy. The CIA did it with Martin Luther King. So what the hell? Why doesn't the Secret Service? They're supposed to be the best. But I'll tell you something. Cops make the worst criminals ever. Okay? They're not good at committing crimes.
Oh, that's good. All right. I will remember that.
As you can see what happened on the 13th, they're terrible at committing crimes. The sloppy work you saw, that was the Secret Service trying to commit a crime. They were so bad at it. I mean, it just astounds me that people just don't automatically say, hey, you got to hold that lady and the president accountable for this, you know. But there will be nobody accountable. Nobody will be accountable. They wanted to make the local police accountable. I mean, the Secret Service is trying to blame the Butler Police Department for the fiasco. I mean, that's absurd. That's not their responsibility.
Right.
It was the Secret Service's responsibility.
I agree. I just am amazed. This is what we're seeing already just after 5 days, 6 days, is quite remarkable. We didn't need a month or two or three. We've got tremendous assets out there with all these cell phone cameras, eyewitness reports. It's a whole different ballgame.
Times have changed. This isn't like 1963. This isn't like 1968. This is the age where everybody's got a video camera in their handy. Hundreds of people at the same time.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I think one of the most important things you said is no one's going to be held accountable for this. Not going to happen.
No.
They're all going to skate. Trump is not out of trouble yet. He's still in danger. They hate him. Remember, there's a faction that is psychopathically driven with hate. Whether it's warranted or not, I'm not here to say. I'm just saying it's a fact. And these people are not going to give up. Vance is a real problem. He's a Zionist. Oh, and I want to tell everyone out there, the source that told me, and I did read it somewhere, one other place, and I couldn't find it, that he had been to 7 Bilderberg meetings. I want to back that up. He's been to 1 Bilderberg meeting for certain, apparently. It's hard to get good information now. But not 7 in a row. 1. But what does one tell you? And who did he work for? Peter
Thiel. He's in a leadership position.
Peter Thiel. That's right. Peter Thiel put him in the Senate with a $15 million grant or helping him get his career off the ground after he was in venture capital with Peter Thiel. Come on. This guy is anointed. He's been picked. So you're going to worry about something? You worry about Vance. He's going to be around for a long time. If Trump were to happen, he could serve out 3 years and then win 2 terms. That's true. If Trump were to die after his first year in office,
he could serve out 2 terms. Yeah,
he would serve 11 years. So get ready because Vance is very pro Zionist.
To have some staying power.
He's very pro Zionist.
If you notice, all three candidates. Are solidly pro-Israel. All three of them are. Okay.
Oh, you bet.
JFK.
They're not going to do anything. They're not going to step out of line.
The most reliable candidate is Trump. Okay? So just so the audience understands, I think, and I've said this previously, I think that Trump is the Antichrist, and I think Biden is the Antichrist. It doesn't matter which one's in. It's got nothing to do with it. It's all, you know, everything you see, the Supreme Court hearings, the investigations in the Congress and all this, the congressmen getting up there and senators questioning people and putting them in their place, which means nothing and changes nothing and holds absolutely nobody accountable. It's all show. It is all just show. It's just to distract us from the fact that who's in charge is the global elites, and they are the ones who are going to decide who's going to be president. It's got nothing to do with who you vote for, people.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with your choice or your wishes or your desire.
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, everybody's just taking it for granted.
Those days are long gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, is Robert Kennedy actually have some chance of running in this race and stuff? Well, you know, you can tell that the elites, you can tell from the media that the elites have already decided, yeah, he's really not an important part of this show that's going on. Okay, maybe a minor distraction or something, but he's not got a chance, okay? But even he is very pro-Israel. The only difference is, you got to understand, we don't want to go to war with Russia and Iran right now at the same time. They're very nervous about doing that. But if they can just get the Ukraine problem out of the way, all those assets and all this focus can go on Israel so they can complete their mission. And that is to draw the United States into a war with Iran. Well, listen, people, drawing the United States into a war with Iran will cause a thermonuclear war just as much as Ukraine will. Okay, it's not a reprieve. Okay, at best, all they're going to do is buy you some time, you know. But World War III is inevitable, okay?
The only thing we have going for us, Mitch, in my humble estimation, is the greed of the same old people who are reworking the world now to put more money in their coffers, reduce the population, and reformat the world to their liking. Now, if that greed predominates to the extent that they won't push the nuclear button, we'll be okay. So in a way, we're relying on that greed to maybe save us from a huge war. I'm not going to count on it, but I think it's a factor. Their greed, their world dominance and control. That's what they lust for.
Well, yes, they do. There's another reason why they need to end the war in Ukraine. Let's just think about this for a minute. What's the other reason they need to end the war in Ukraine for? Because
that's where ancient the Khazarian Empire was, and they want new land when Israel gets trashed. That's what somebody said that the other day. It's an interesting idea.
Well, just think about it. What war is Russia? Where is Russia making great advances? In what phase of war? What aspect of war?
Oh, they're so far ahead now.
Well, in the BRICS war, in BRICS versus NATO,
The economic war against the dollar. Is a rumbling success. It's big.
Right. So
they're going to have a basket of currencies. The dollar's not going to go away, in my opinion. There'll be a basket of currencies. That's what they want. Divide and conquer. And control.
Well, listen, actually, next Monday, what I'm going to talk about is I've been talking about Iran and China and North Korea and Russia. Well, I want to talk about BRICS versus NATO next week, and I'm going to give you some insight into that. Okay, it's part of the strategic intelligence thing. It's so that you can kind of get a picture of what's going on as you see events unfold. The whole purpose of strategic intelligence being so that you can kind of get an idea of when we're actually getting close to the shit hitting the fan, okay?
Right.
So it's so that you know when to run, okay? Basically, is what that's about. So there, you know, if you just look at this, so Biden is blindly attacking Russia, okay? He will not face reality in Ukraine at all. It's all lies about Ukraine. Even if Russia takes Ukraine, that's a threat to NATO. Well, no, it is not. It is absolutely not. Russia has never said anything about attacking any other nations. Russia, it would be insane to attack a NATO nation. Why would they do that? It's ridiculous to think that they would. They're trying to make Russia look like the unreasonable actor when it's NATO who's the unreasonable actor, okay? So take a step more, if you listen to Robert F. Kennedy talk about Ukraine, he can tell you exactly why we should get out of Ukraine. He can go back in the history and say and tell you that it's our fault this is happening. It's not Russia's fault. We're pushing this on Russia. Robert F. Kennedy knows that. Now, you notice Trump is against supporting Ukraine, but, you know, he never expresses, like, how he knows it's a problem. He never says, well, it's because, you know, we've bullied Russia into this. He doesn't say that. You know, his prime motivation for stopping in Ukraine is to stop the economic war. It's got nothing to do with actual reality, history, or politics. It's got to do with the economic war he wants to stop, okay? So you can kind of tell from how they discuss their position on Ukraine where they're at in it. Because Trump doesn't have a depth of knowledge. He doesn't really have real insight to things. He's kind of just, he may have a little bit of an economic insight, but that's it. There's no political insight there. It doesn't matter what actually happens. What matters is what's the economic angle at this point. Now Trump does have training in that. He has a degree in economics from Wharton, okay, and he probably does have some basic fundamental understanding of what's going on, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a great businessman, but he knows enough that he's become a billionaire, you know. Even if it's a fake billionaire, you know, he's at least given people the impression that he's
a Mossad billionaire.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
he's a front man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. Okay. With respect to Biden, I don't think he's going to last more than another 2 weeks, maybe even less. And it has to be looked at as related to the failed assassination attempt. If he bails out now, I see a direct link. I don't have any hesitation. And you?
Well, listen, you know, keep an open mind here, Jeff. You know, he's kind of sick. You know, he might just die in office. I'm not saying assassinated. I'm saying he may die in office.
That's true.
They might need to really shut him up, you know.
Oh, they don't want
like
him
said,
talking to
say
anybody,
the wrong
for
thing.
God's sakes. No. You're 100% right.
Can you imagine him on the stage in Las Vegas? Yeah, we almost got that son of a bitch. I mean, wouldn't it be like
joking.
If they blurt something like that out?
Oh, 100% correct. Absolutely
yeah.
right. Yeah.
They couldn't let that happen.
No. I wonder how much Jill Biden is running the show. I have to say it's a lot. She's very quiet.
No, he's not running the show.
Yeah. Well, it's Obama ultimately, but on a day-to-day, hands-on basis, it's got to be Biden. And she likes the power. She's basically come from being a babysitter as a young woman. So she's done. I guess she's done pretty well for herself, if you want to look at it that way. So we'll see. But
yeah,
I really do think
she's like the old like during the days of the Boxer Rebellion. She's like the Empress Dowager behind the scenes, you know, making things happen and ultimately going too wild. Okay, and it's starting stuff that actually causes China to collapse. Okay, so. There's historical precedences for a person like her, you know. It's her that wants to stay in power.
Yes. Yeah. I concur. I just left to his own devices, such as they are. Biden, you could put him in a chair and just tell him to sit, stay, give him, lemonade every 5-10 minutes, and he'd sit and stay. I don't think there's much left in him. Geez, the guy can hardly
walk. It's
an embarrassment. Okay, here we have Donald Trump, a long student of the World Wrestling Entertainment monolith. It's a big business. He learned from Vince McMahon all about crowd control, how to incite people, how to make them hate and like and love and adore. And they put these people through the whole thing. Of course, they think this WWE is real. They don't think it's entertainment, but they changed the name to entertainment. They had to. So tonight, the opening speech to introduce Trump was given by Hulk Hogan.
Well, let me give you another example, and this goes back to the 1970s, the late 70s when I was in college. I had to take you're required to take a speech class, and in public speaking, basically said the two great orators of the 20th century was Adolf Hitler and Martin Luther King. Okay, now King used sort of a preacher style
revival
speech and stuff. Yeah, he was successful in what he was doing. He was talking the right thing.
Hitler, but go ahead.
Well. Anyways, it's a different kind. It's different kinds of speaking, but it's talking about the effectiveness of it. And I was there was a guy in my class from the NAACP. He was a pretty sharp guy, you know. And he says, "Well, you know, I'm going to get into politics, but first I have to go to divinity school." You know, I said, "Well, why do you have to go to divinity school?" He says, "If you're going to be in black politics, you have to go to divinity school. You got to be a preacher. That's the way you get in." Okay, and this was like 1976, 77, something like that. That he was telling me that. Okay. And at the time I could see it. It made sense. You know, he was right about how to do it. And that's the style that King used. Okay. So Hitler's style, when we studied Hitler's style, I want to make a distinction when I say this. There is a difference between the main difference between Hitler and Donald Trump, because I'm going to compare the two, is that Hitler had an ideology. He had an idea. His thinking was integrated.
He had a dream.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like Martin Luther King. Yeah.
Think about it.
But what Hitler would do when he went out to address a crowd is he didn't necessarily know what he was going to say. In other words, he did not have a practice speech when he went out.
No teleprompter.
He didn't necessarily know what he was going to say, and he didn't have a teleprompter. His teleprompter was the crowd. And what he would do is he would throw out a concept or an idea, okay, and see how the crowd responded. Okay, so when the crowd responded positively to some idea, he got some good cheers and stuff, then he would move in along that line of reasoning, and he'd bring it to a tempo and bring the people to a fever pitch of emotion and stuff on that subject, okay? So now, flash forward to Trump. Trump does the same thing, okay, only he doesn't really have an ideology or philosophy behind him, okay? He's just an amorphous character to begin with, okay? But he throws things out there. He just says things, and then he sort of follows the crowd. Well, this is what populists do. You know, they work the crowd is what they do. And the benefit that Trump has over Hitler is Trump has been a showman in his life.
Right.
He has studied, he has worked in showmanship. He knows what to do.
He learned from Vince McMahon.
His brightest moment was when he stood up with his fist and said, "Fight," with the American flag behind him. That is an iconic photo. That was a stroke of showman genius right there. Very effective.
I've suggested exactly that he was down. He was able to collect his wits, demand his shoes back, and knew that when he stood up, he had a shot. Vince McMahon, World Wrestling Federation, now World Wrestling Entertainment, he knew. He's a showman.
Yeah.
Hitler was an... Hitler had an ideology that took Germany from utter ruin in 3 years and put it on top of the world. That has never been and will never be done again.
So I forgot about the shoes thing. And he was saying, hey, give me my shoes. So I just wanted to dissect that a little bit, okay?
Why did they take his shoes off, Mitch? What's the deal?
Why did he take his shoes off?
Okay. No, he didn't. Here's the Secret Service did. The Secret Service allegedly did.
Why did they take his shoes off? Why would they do that?
Because when he
got shot and he went down, okay, the Secret Service agents, I've been there. I've done that job. Working with the Secret Service, you're not looking at the candidate. You're looking away from the candidate. So when Trump went down and he hit the ground, the candidates, the Secret Service people, immediately assumed that the operation was successful and Trump was shot. They took his shoes off to render medical aid. They thought he was dead, so they started doing
the medical
assessment.
What kind of medical aid would that be? Well, I don't understand. What are they going to do? Hook up an IV to his feet? I don't get it.
Well, maybe. Yeah, sometimes you do have to do that. Depends.
I think they may have been looking for wounds.
If you roll somebody into the hospital, when you're rolled into the emergency room, your shoes come off right away. Usually your shoes come off in the ambulance, okay? If you're in serious condition. If you're dead, yes. They do take your shoes off, okay? That indicates right there, Jeff, that the Secret Service agents knew that Trump was going to get shot because they immediately went to life-saving procedures even though he wasn't in danger of losing his life.
Very good point.
So Secret Service agents that were protecting him, they knew, they thought he was dead. They thought the operation was a success. So it was sort of a cluster up on the stage.
Can you imagine, Mitch?
Well, they were probably surprised that he was still alive.
I was just going to say that. Can you imagine how many people were in on this who were watching, figuring Trump went down mortally wounded, and here he is rising from the dead right in front of them to stand up?
Yeah.
And in full view of God and the world, pumping his fist with blood perfectly placed on his face. How could that have happened? Oh, it's incredible. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they must have been so angry they probably
iconic.
Couldn't believe their eyes. They
Yeah.
Biden? Can you imagine Biden? What's left of his brain was overwhelmed.
This is a disaster. For the Biden administration,
That's why he's in Delaware.
Messing up that operation so badly,
I know. It's really something. But here we have Linda McMahon, Vince McMahon's ex-wife, Hulk Hogan giving the come on. He introduced Trump. What else do you need? And there's another wrestler named Kane there. And maybe more, but this is the culmination of Trump acknowledging all he's learned from the WWE over all these years. Getting this nomination tonight was very fitting for Hulk Hogan to introduce him. I haven't seen it. It's about 9 minutes long. I've got it posted up at the top of headlines. You can see it there. So it's like a circle. What goes around comes around, and here it is, WWE. I wonder how Trump is processing this. Let's assume he really was the target, and he now knows that people really do want to blow his head off. I wonder how
he's
processing this.
He's got to know by this point that listen, in his first term of office, he did not completely trust his circle, the Secret Service. He always carried a gun with him when he was president. He was armed. He packed everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Okay? And just think about it. His felony conviction keeps him from having a gun. And then Congressman, I forget his name, from Mississippi, black congressman from Mississippi, wanted to pass a law that if you're convicted as a felon, you cannot have Secret Service protection. Okay. Yeah, so when they're attacking him, they attack from every mm-hmm. angle that they can. Okay,
like
they're doing
pack.
Anything. They're desperate to do anything. Well, as I saw during the 2020 campaign here at Albuquerque, what I saw, you know, this is very close to Latin America. So one thing they do is they write a lot of graffiti on the walls. All over town was written "by any means necessary," and that was to take Trump down by any means necessary. These people that are against Trump, they are true believers, and they really, really believe this, and they think morally, and ethically, they have to do it.
I agree. So, the caliber and the quality of people in the Biden administration, this Cheadle woman, I'm not going to resign. No. There's no more honor. There's no more dignity. There's no more integrity with these people. They're just
Well, Jeff, she cannot defend herself if she resigns. If she resigns, she knows she can come in and under investigation, and they might find her out. The
well, that's
best
a good
place
point.
For her to
I
be
think
to cover
that, I
up her sins is
yeah.
as director.
I think it's a safe thing to assume that this is going to come out to some degree, or people are going to begin to die suddenly. And disappear. They're going to have to. Too many people
well,
know.
That's another
that
thing.
Stock,
that's
stock,
another thing.
That stock move was big. A big giveaway. That the word
was
out.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, I think what you're going to see is they're going to start like feeling the pulse of all the people that are involved, and if they see people kind of wavering, okay. Now I'm sure everybody involved thinks that it was a moral and ethical and right patriotic thing to do. Okay, but if anybody starts wavering, you'll start seeing people dropping by the wayside. Sort of like I think after Kennedy's assassination, within 2 years after his assassination, 55 people who were witnesses or involved in some way had died by accident, suicide, or something like that. And
this
the
is, you're talking about
odds of those.
JFK?
Kennedy's assassination.
Oh, yeah, it's way over 100. It's way over 100 after 2 years.
And the statistical probability of that group of people happening to that group of people was just enormous, like a trillion to one or something. It was just, you know, and they're using actuarial tables that insurance people use. It just would be impossible that group of people would have that many deaths in that much time. I think you're going to see that again. In the near future, you know.
Right. They have no problem killing people. None.
I want to tell you something. So I can sit here right now and I can say with confidence, okay, that Biden knew about the assassination and Cheadle knew and probably ordered it, okay? And I'm very confident and I have no inside information. All I can do is look at what happened. Look at what happened. I mean, it's so right. obvious. So what danger am I to them? You know, I'm no danger to them at all because, well, they have a million different theories out there. And I'm just one amongst many, many, many. They ain't worried about me. They're worried about that person that is part of the plot that may not toe the line. That's who they're very worried about.
Well,
they're confident that everybody's going to believe their cover-up. The FBI is creating the cover-up story right now, and that's their job in the federal government. The FBI makes cover stories to create narratives that cover up the crimes of the government. That's what their job
that's true.
Is, okay?
That's right.
And they're doing that now. And Mike Johnson in Congress, he's already said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to investigate this great failure. No, the great failure was that Trump did not die. It was an intentional act. The way the Secret Service, it's all on camera. The way the Secret Service behaved that day is too bad to be a mistake. It is too bad to be a failure. It is too bad to be incompetent. In other words, you would have to work hard to be that incompetent, okay? That would be hard work to be that. That is not something that, oh, it's just a few sloppy work on a few people's part. No. You can see with your own eyes. This was an intentional act of the Secret Service. They were in on it. Still Trump.
I am not going to differ with you one iota on that. I agree. This has been quite a learning lesson, I hope, for a lot of people, and much to learn yet. Let's just watch. This is not over. They are going to keep stirring the pot of chaos and craziness right up until the January 20th date and then beyond. They're not going to stop from now on. It's divide and conquer.
Well, they
watch.
They can't. They can't. What they have to do now is they have to create crisis after crisis
after crisis
after crisis.
It's going to ramp up.
They've got to keep it going.
You got it. Yep. Next thing will be Biden out. There'll be an effort to put the camel in there. They're going to go to Michelle Obama, see if they can talk him, her, it into going in. She's got 100 million followers on X, I think it is. Anyway, she's very popular. They're going to do whatever they want. It's already decided. Michelle says she doesn't want to run. I don't believe it. We'll see.
I'm kind of partial to thinking that it's going to be Gavin Newsom that they stick in there.
That would be the end, and that's the end. He's destroyed California. Destroyed it.
He's destroyed San Francisco. He destroyed California. He destroys everything he touches. He will destroy America.
I agree. Mitch, thank you. Excellent observations. I think you got it nailed down beautifully. Okay. Talk soon. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Mitchell Henderson. We shall continue. Another hour to go. Boy, these are busy times. Be right back.